Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and as always, thank you for tuning in. We enjoy spending time with you and hope that you enjoyed spending some time with us and that we're giving you some useful information. One of the tenets of CCTA is to try and educate the public and to share information. And we do that here on the radio show and also at our public meetings that are held the third Tuesday of every month and also on our website at cctaxpayers.com. We try to share out a lot of information with you there, and we are now using Telegram. We have a channel on Telegram. You can join us up there, and hopefully that we are being of some use and benefit to you. Our panel tonight, we have Bob Griswold.
Hello.
And his wife, Mary Griswold, also known as Right Wing Granny.
Hello.
At rightwinggranny.com, excellent conservative news source. And we have Pete Benton.
Top of the evening.
We have Melissa.
Hello.
We have Hal James.
Hey there, y'all.
And we have Rainer James.
Hey. And Rick, I've got something to add.
What's that?
We have a newspaper page every week in the County Compass.
That's
which
right.
Which also provides some good information.
That's right. And we appreciate the efforts of Connie Hanna, who no longer lives here in the area, but is still participating in the production of that page. And she does an excellent job. She authors the Trump report card there. We value her contribution to the
big time
organization. Ann Rayner is the editor of that page, and she gets it all put together and puts in other articles that sometimes she writes and other members in CCTA, and they get shared on that page also.
This week is a contribution from Patty Mason. It's good.
Good. And we'd like to also thank Jeff Adelette, the publisher of the County Compass, the owner, and for his generosity in providing us ample space to do that. And
Patty's article is on critical race theory, and I think it's very timely.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's one of the top issues across the country now, and you're hearing about it more and more every day. Well, let's kick the show off. You know, last week we did a little thing, so we'll try that again this week. Bob, you got a hot topic you want to talk about?
Oh, man, that's a big surprise on me. I got a hot topic. Well, I think the hot topic.
You don't need it right now.
Oh, yeah,
I'm just asking if you have one.
Oh, do I have one?
If you don't, when we go to break, you can think of one.
Well, actually, I'm going to say right now where they're just wrapping up, Mike Lindell was having a symposium out in South Dakota.
South Dakota.
Sioux City, South Dakota.
Right.
And had a number of people out there. You know, the question becomes, when you deviate from normal, do you need to figure out what happened for that deviation? I don't care if you're cooking a chicken and all of a sudden it's raw. Well, I deviated from normal cooking. Or you're doing anything else. You mow the lawn, but the lawn doesn't look like it's cut. You've deviated from something that would normally happen. Throughout the elections, throughout the many, many states, and actually all 50 states were finally represented out there, through all of those states, there's deviations in the way the election was proceeded.
Right.
And there were deviation from law. Well, law was, in theory, is supreme. The law counts for something, but they were ignored over and over and over again. Deviations. Couldn't they be investigated?
One thing I noticed, what little bit of time I had to be able to watch that symposium, you know, leading up to it, Mike was promoting it on the fact they had all these packet captures of the data and how the Chinese and other people were hacking into the system and changing votes and things like that. And I was very interested in that. And matter of fact, we've got Doug Gould, one of our panelists, is a cybersecurity expert. And because of his credentials, he was invited to participate. And he's been out there all week. We're looking forward to him getting back here and giving us an update on the activities there and what he learned, what he witnessed. But the part that I didn't know was going to be there is all the mathematicians. And that is an entirely different approach than the cyber part of it. The cyber part shows you what was going on digitally over the internet. What these mathematicians have done is they've gone and plotted out and shown that the things that happened were totally unnatural. Like you would have, let's say we're mapping a curve of the votes today. We're all going to the polls and voting and all that. You're going to have a group go, and so you're going to see a spike. Here's 10 or 15 people came to the poll. Then a little later, another group show, and one or two in between. So you're going to get a graph that's up and down and up and down throughout the day. And probably during the evening, it's going to go way up as people get off work and show up. Well, that's not what they saw. Across all 50 states, they saw a smooth curve going up. Simultaneously in all states at the same time, a smooth curve. And the only way that could happen is with an algorithm that was, manipulating the data at the time. So that was very interesting and good evidence, I believe.
There is another aspect to this. First of all, I want to quote, oddly enough, Joseph Stalin, who said, those who vote decide nothing. Those who count the vote decide everything. But just the News posted an article earlier in the week talking about some of the paper ballots in Atlanta. And this isn't machine fraud. This is voter counter fraud, because what happened when a ballot is rejected by the scanner, then the voting officials have the option of looking at that ballot and deciding what should happen with it. There were instances where people had checked both Trump and Biden. Maybe Trump had a big black mark and Biden had a little check. And the machine kicks that out as an overvote. But when the ballot was looked at by the poll observers, they counted it for Biden. And the article has pictures of what went on and what was counted. Now, this little paper ballot episode probably wouldn't have been enough to change the result, but it was one part of many that went in and showed that this was not the straight-up honest election that we had hoped to have.
All right. I think you'd have to have blinders on not to have figured that out by now.
You know, statistically, you brought up the mathematicians, and statistically, when things should go normal and the coefficient of correlation should not be 100%. Look at all of the various entities that all of a sudden they stopped counting ballots at 10 o'clock at night, and we'll get back to it in the morning.
Right.
Folks, the one that we experienced very recently was that gasoline pipeline shutdown, and how it affected us. And it took days before it affected some of the stations, but afterwards it affected a whole bunch of stations. But it wasn't like every station shut down all at the same time. We had a major crisis there, but again, it did not affect everybody at 10 o'clock on that same night.
Right. Well, it was an orchestrated event. It's obvious. It was coordinated, and now there's been a lot of proof and evidence shown, I believe. And now we got to see where it goes from here. Pete?
What's rather interesting, the individuals that you're talking about, mathematicians, are actually what's called statisticians. And having done graduate and postgraduate level statistics are very, very important in analyzing and studying something. Because what you want to ensure is that the data is accurate and that it's reliable, okay? You have diagnostic means or tests like p-tests and things of that nature that you can administer. But what's interesting when you start to look at this data and analyze it over a period of time, you see major what's called abnormalities or anomalies. They found that to be very, very true. And there was some interesting, I was reviewing some of Mike Lindell's literature, and it said that just before they started the cyber symposium, they said, today we have explosive information that proves U.S. election machines can be altered from overseas. So that has been absolutely proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. An expert cyber team has proven that you can change votes in the U.S. election systems from overseas and ultimately the election results. The team was even able to alter the dates on the data entries made overseas in a location in Asia to cover their activities. So having those people, analyze, look at the data, see all these particular anomalies, it raises suspicions about the possibility, which I think is some clear proof that fraud absolutely occurred in the 2020 election cycle.
Not only fraud, act of war against the United States by a foreign country.
Correct.
Rainer?
One of the things that I found really interesting was that the projections by the mathematicians and the extrapolation of what the real vote was and what the big lie was, based on the data that Mike Lindell had gathered, matched each other.
Yeah.
That was no coincidence. They were onto something, each of them using their own discipline.
Right, and that was very confusing to some people, the way they displayed those graphics, because on some of them, Trump won the state anyway, even though they took
smaller margin.
Right. Well, but what you have to look at is the whole picture. When you extract that across all 50 states, because one state isn't what caused the election, it's the total vote count at the end. So you take 100 here and 1,000 there and 1,000,000 here and 10,000 there and add it to the total vote count. He may still have won these states, but that's not what counts. It's the total vote count at the end that counts.
There is a concept in our election predictions and statistics called bellwether counties.
Yep.
And there are 19 bellwether counties in the nation. And in 2020, all but one of them picked President Trump. And there's another bellwether list of 58 counties that had correctly predicted every president since 2000. Trump took 51 of them. And the ones that he lost to Biden were by a margin of about 4 points.
Yep.
So there are a lot of statistical anomalies
yes.
that just show that this was not what it appeared
anyway,
to be.
Anyway, you got it.
Melissa?
You know, I think it's very fascinating to find out, you know, exactly where all this was. I do think it was on every single level. I mean, if we remember what that election, the feel of the nation, the hatred for the other side was so palpable that you could not have a conversation with your neighbors. And so with Trump and what his policies were with America First, the world internationally did not want him to stay. They could not afford for him to stay. They were losing big time. I think the deep swamp could not afford for him to stay. They were absolutely losing big time. It was all just all the way down. And then your local people just hated him. So they would absolutely slip a ballot over here. I think, I think even if we could prove it 1,000%, they'll never say we're right. We will always be conspiracy theorists. That's just how I feel. I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but that's how I feel, that they will never, they went through too much to get this win. And I just don't think I don't think Trump will be reinstated. That's not going to happen.
Right. Well, the whole thing there is they already know the truth. They're not going to admit it.
Well, that's why they're fighting it so hard. And it's not, you know, if you don't have anything to hide, just let us look. That's not going to happen. They're not giving it to us easy. They're fighting it every step of the way. But I think just to cover up the depth of their deception. But I don't think even, you know, with this symposium, although I think it's great, I think the bigger picture is because we're not going to have him reinstated. They're never going to say Biden lost. And I just think the bigger picture is we have to figure out how to prevent this from ever happening again.
All right, Pete.
A couple of interesting things when I was reviewing in the literature, and they were talking about, you know, Michael Lindell's team discussing what is also important to note, that EMS devices have network cards and server modems, which allow access to the internet. Okay, this allows for changes to be made via the internet. This is also why individuals involved in election steals do not want review of the hard copies of the election results, the ballots. There is no functionality in the voting machines that prevent ballots from being tabulated numerous times, which was observed in Fulton County, Georgia on election night. Because of this, election fraud is much more likely to be committed at the local level. And in all probability, that's where it happened. Again, when you talk about the abnormalities and the abnormalities, you had drastic changes in the voter counts. That is statistically something that's, it doesn't occur. When you look at statistics and everything, you see radical changes and spikes that tells you there's something abnormal going on, which rouses the suspicions that the fraud was taking place.
All right. Rainer?
In some states, they were flipping votes, and there were so many people who came out to vote for Donald Trump that they didn't have enough projected possible voters that they could, they had to change which states he won and which states he lost, because Texas is one of them. There were just too many people who voted for Donald Trump. They couldn't fake it. So they were constantly doing things that allowed people to understand what they were doing. I'm convinced that there were fraudulent things like recounting votes and that kind of thing, but I think that was penny ante compared to what happened over the internet. And I believe that if we don't nail this down and show what happened, show all the world what happened, make arrests, send people to jail, we will never have an honest election again. Venezuela will go the way of Venezuela and all the other countries that are suffering under horrible, tyrannical governments will continue to. This is in our backyard. We need to insist on really tight forensic audits in every single state and find out what happened and take names and kick butt.
I agree.
Well, Bob, it looks like your topic took up the whole first segment here. So
can I take about 15 seconds?
Yeah, we got to take a break, though.
Oh, okay. The symposium opened up with them announcing we have set up a voting environment where they had voting machines, and that was not on the internet. It's not on the internet. We've got the voting machines and the server all set up. And then they invited people in the audience to break into that system. 5.5 minutes they broke into the system and they changed the votes.
Wow. Yep, that was very interesting. And it was a couple of kids on their cell phones.
Yeah.
They didn't even have an elaborate computer set up or lab. They were sitting in the audience on their cell phones and they discovered the network, hacked into it, and made change.
We need all paper ballots, and they need to have the same kind of markings that our money has.
And it changed the administrator's password, so she couldn't get back in. All right, well, we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors. Hope you'll stay tuned and be here when we come back. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, the first segment we spent on talking about the cyber symposium and election fraud. And I believe it was you, Rainer, you were talking about... you mentioned, Rainer, something about the people not understanding exactly, and we need to make sure everybody knows exactly what went on. Well, we have that same problem when we talk about the coronavirus situation.
Yep.
We've got half of the country or more that are terrified and living in fear over this coronavirus. And the other half of the country, not living in fear, is looking at a totally different aspect of science. You say science is science, look at the science. Well, you know, we have a group of scientists over here trying to convince us that we need to get the vaccine. This virus is going to kill us, blah, 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 blah. And the only way to save the world is for everybody to get vaccinated. Then on the other side, we've got a group of scientists with just as good or better credentials telling us exactly the opposite. And some of them, like the VP of Pfizer that retired or whatever, he was VP of Pfizer. He says, no, this is a bioweapon. So who do you believe? And how do we get people to do enough research to uncover the real facts and the truth to make a informed decision rather than being led down the path of making a bad decision.
You know, Rick, you mentioned that half of the country is in fear of the virus and the other half of the country is sort of in doubt of that. Let's go back to that half of the country that's in fear of the virus. They are also in fear of the people that are not in fear of the virus.
Right.
They just consider that I'm not sure exactly what they consider us.
Well, that's part of the design of this whole thing, is to divide us, not just by race, but now by fear, okay? You're going to kill me and my kids. How dare you come in here with no mask on when it's been proven time and time again, the masks do not work. Not the cloth ones anyway. The molecules are so small, they pass right through it. Yeah. So it's useless. It doesn't work. But some people are so afraid. I've seen people riding down the road with a mask on and a face shield.
Mm-hmm.
In a car, in a convertible. By themselves.
In a convertible.
It's amazing the fear that's out there.
Jeff has a front page article in this week's County Compass. It's on stands now about a Dr. Dan Stock, a physician who has a less than 7-minute video. It was speaking at a meeting on that very subject. And he Google took it down very, very quickly. He had an employee who was really good with this sort of thing capture it for him. He says, if anybody is interested in seeing that video, email him and he'll send it to them. I think it's a good idea. I fully intend to do that and hope other people will too. There are plenty of physicians who say that the CDC and government outlets are not following the science.
Right.
We're being lied to on purpose as a control mechanism.
And it's a global
initiative. We should not be controlled.
It's a global initiative. It's not just here in the United States. It's worldwide, a global initiative. And very good points you brought up there, Pete.
Yeah, and to Rainer's point, which I totally agree, this particular COVID virus has accomplished many things, if you will, and I would subscribe to and adhere to the assumption that this is bioterrorism by China, okay?
Yep.
I think there's clear and irrefutable proof that that's where it came from, okay? What has it accomplished? Massive polarization of the United States of America. It is dividing our country and it's going to conquer us. Number two, it has economically destabilized America, creating massive deficits and expenditures of funds and things of that nature on this particular virus.
Now, and small businesses going out of business.
Of course, yes. And that's by design.
Yep.
Okay. Kept Trump out of office. Now, I have a personal story about this that's rather intriguing. One of my wife's distinguished colleagues is Dr. Clyde Rodenkamp. Cindy and I knew Clyde when we were in Washington, D.C., and he's a dentist by training, but he's also a medical researcher. Clyde's a brilliant, brilliant man. I've known him for many, many years. I was talking to him. He teaches at the Loma Linda School of Dentistry in California. Clyde told me that he actually has followed. There's a British epidemiologist who is a distinguished professor. Now, this is intriguing. He said, if you've had the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccination as a child, you have a natural immunity to the SARS virus, which is COVID. He never took the vaccine. Okay. His wife got COVID. He never got touched. He went into his immunologist. They tested his immune system. Okay. The statistical quotient to maintain, the defense against the COVID virus is 50 percentile. He was at 100.
Whoa.
So my point is that, and to everyone's point, there's conflicting evidence, scientific and medical evidence about this. This is an extremely inflammatory type of issue. And you're getting some accomplished people, scientists, medical doctors, that are coming out and saying, wait a minute, time out.
Yeah.
There are some major motives and issues underneath this.
Follow the money. Who's saying what, and what do they stand to gain by scaring you?
But Rainer brought up a good point that this guy's video was taken down off of YouTube.
Yes.
Now, you have to ask yourself, because this is unprecedented in this land of free speech that we've lived in all this time.
A physician doesn't know what he's talking about to do with medical things, but Google does.
Right. All of a sudden now, you've got these big tech giants are determining what is true and what is false and what you can see or can't see. And it's all based on whether it agrees with their narrative or not, not on true science, not on fact, not on anything other than their political agenda and whether the, whether you're going along with that. Mary.
I want to point out, I want to talk a minute about something that recently happened in Massachusetts. They had a bunch of breakthrough cases out on Cape Cod that were people who were vaccinated, and they had a whole slew of them. Well, when they went and looked at this, the people who died, the average age of the people who died from this outbreak, and they were vaccinated people, was 82.5 years old. Well, they pointed out that the average life expectancy in America is 77.3. So chances are the virus was not the only thing that killed these people.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they had been vaccinated. So, I mean, I don't like to be negative here, but what good is the vaccine if you're going to get it anyway?
Yeah.
Another interesting concept and thought when you study history and political history in particular, and you look at socialist, Leninist, Marxist governments. What is censorship? Any ideas? Censorship is a tool that tyrannists use to suppress the truth.
Yep.
It is a tool. It's a weapon that they use because they don't want the truth to be known.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the people who spoke at Mike Lindell's seminar, a Dr. Shiva, spoke about, in this case it was Twitter, kicking him off. He had posted some things about something that the Secretary of State of Massachusetts had done. And apparently there is a backdoor channel to Twitter that people like her can use. She asked them to take him down. They did. So, you know, Doug has talked about this before. If somebody is doing something at the government's behest, and if the government is incapable of doing it, it's illegal for the government to do it, then it was illegal for Twitter to do it at government request. We have got censorship being laundered by this big tech. It's not really big tech censorship. It is our government censoring us.
You're acting as an agent of the government.
Exactly.
Well, we have our government telling us that they're doing that. Jen Psaki did a press conference where she stated that they are in contact with Facebook and other big tech giants to flag, quote, misinformation about COVID. And when they flag them, they are taken down.
That is entirely against the First Amendment to our Constitution. It is horrible.
There was an example this past week. Fox News has a reputation of being a conservative news outlet.
Ha, not anymore.
No, you're right. But there's a show on Fox News called Unfiltered, hosted by Dan Bongino. And he interviewed President Trump. And when the interview aired, one of the people working with Trump realized that about 20 words had been edited out. And there was no note in the broadcast that they had been edited out. Let me tell you what the words were, and then I'll tell you why they were edited out. President Trump said, "It's a disgrace what's happening, and I don't think the country is going to stand for it much longer. They're disgusted. You have a fake election. You have an election with voter abuse and voter fraud like no one has ever seen before. And based on that, and based on what happened, they are destroying our country." Those words were edited out, and they were edited out because, now, the station said, if we don't edit it out, then YouTube won't post the video.
Ha.
But that's the excuse they gave. But the fact is, they ran a smooth transition so that nobody listening was aware
they were
that this had been taken out.
On purpose.
Right.
Yes, and
well,
that's another way to do it.
That's the tyranny that we're under today, and you know, folks, how much are we going to take?
We can't let this stand.
When are we
going
to take a stand against it? When are we
going to
do something? People, I've been telling you over the past year or two that if you are paying a cable bill or a satellite bill, you are financing this mess. Every check you send in is divided up amongst CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, and all of them. They get their little cut, their share.
And the rest goes to China.
And you multiply that by millions of people across this country. You are literally financing our downfall, the destruction. Not only that, you're financing the brainwashing of your children that sit in front of that TV and are fed the social justice stuff that's going on and social engineering that's going on through broadcast media. And you may not even be aware of it. Most likely you're not aware of it if you just send them in there and let them sit in front of the TV unsupervised. But you've got to take a stand. You've got to start boycotting this. Get off of it. Get internet service. You got to have internet. And you can stream from alternative conservative news sources. Now, our next public meeting, the third Tuesday of this month, we're going to do a mock-up of the CCTA Wake Up radio show. We're going to have this panel sitting at the table. We're going to have audience participation, and we're going to talk about that very topic. And I'm going to have printed out information for you of alternative news sources. I'm going to, you know, there's like five or six, I think it is, different corporations that own and control all of the news media. That's why you can go from channel to channel to channel, and there's YouTube videos out there you can watch this, where for 15 or 20 minutes, they're going from different news, local news stations all across the country, and they're all repeating the same exact paragraph, wording. The phrases are sent to them through the Mockingbird media, and that's what you're getting. So, folks, you got to take a stand. You got to get out of this indoctrination situation that you're in. A lot of people are addicted to some of the shows on TV, and they don't even realize that their mind is being controlled. But you got to realize it. You're in the results of decades of this going on.
You know, Rick, to your point, I'm sorry, Helen, I would submit for everyone as well that we need to support grassroots organizations like Coastal Carolina Taxpayer Association, of which we are, God and Country Christian Alliance. You have Dexter Liu over there in Pamlico County, who's the Second Amendment Patriots. They're all God-fearing, patriotic organizations. And I say, in addition to that, talk to your ministers. Get the churches involved. This is a time for Christian Americans to stand together arm in arm to fight for freedom.
I agree, Pete. That's a good place that people need to start working on, because too many ministers have given up and given in and are promoting the same narrative that the government is. And that's a shame. And then we need to call them out on it and get them back on track. Hal, we're going to take a break to hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, it's your turn.
Okay.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Hal, you had something to contribute.
Yeah, it ties in a little bit what you said about our upcoming meeting. Today, I delivered about 400 of the county conference newspapers and visited with a lot of people and talked to them. And one of the things I wanted to tell them about was that Doug Gould, who's one of the panelists on our Wake Up Call, and of course an active member in CCTA.
And he's not on the show tonight because he's in South Dakota with Mike Lindell investigating the voter fraud.
Right. And today I was explaining to each of the first people that I went to see that one of our members is down there, Doug Gould.
Up there.
What about it, Rain?
Up there.
Up there. Well, yeah, it's up and out, I guess, up and over. Whatever, it's a long ways from here. I think it took him 3 days of driving to get there. And the reason he drove is he took all this technical equipment with him that would help him analyze some of these systems and so forth like that. He has a designation. I can't remember exactly what it is, a bunch of initials that says he is a cyber expert. He worked for the CIA for a number of years as a cyber analyst for them. Then he went to work for AT&T as a cyber analyst for them.
And Bell Labs.
Bell Labs. And he's got terrific credentials. And I was telling people this, and I went by one of our sponsors, Sam D's Pawn, and Drew was in there. And I said, Drew, I was talking to you about Doug Gould is one of our members who's down there at Michael Lindell Symposium. And we're so proud of that. And the guy's so well qualified to be there. And I walk out and get in my car, and doggone it, I was listening to this on my cell phone, listening to the symposium, and Doug's voice was there. Doug had the microphone. He was up on the stage. He was leading the discussion, and he was talking about what he had found so far. And Pete gave me a call right away. He said, you know, I'm watching Doug on TV. And I said, well, I'm listening to him on my cell phone. So we were excited about that. And basically what Doug had to say was that he had spent 8 hours working on those packets, and that his conclusion was that he had just about opened up War and Peace and read the table of contents. That's about how far he'd get in 8 hours. So that tells you how complicated this thing is.
Right. Well, and, Doug has all the credentials, as you mentioned, plus Doug is going to make sure it's thoroughly investigated. He's not taking anything for granted. Absolutely. He wants absolute proof. And that's why he has that equipment.
Right. And the moderator there said, you were the only fellow that came here with the right kind of equipment to do this analysis. And he said, how much did that equipment cost? He said, well, it was heavy. It cost me about $10,500. And he said, what would it cost to analyze a whole county's computers at an election site? He said, about $375,000 worth of equipment. And so anyway, the problem, the scope of the problem is immense. That's just what I'm trying to say from his results. And I'm really in hopes that we'd hope we could get him on the telephone tonight and hadn't been able to, I guess.
Yeah, he's busy.
Yeah, but I'm sure he is. But when he gets back, and I hope he's really geared up for that show that you're talking about in the next public meeting, and really gives us a lowdown on what went on and what he saw and everything, what he learned. And I'm just so thankful that, Pete introduced us to Doug. Doug became an active member and panelist, and he's a genius. I'm absolutely convinced he's a genius.
Well, good. Mary, you had a newsflash come in?
Yes, this is just breaking. A group of Indiana University students asked the lower courts for help as the university was requiring COVID vaccinations as a condition of returning to school. The Federal District Court in Indiana and the Seventh Circuit Court refused to block the vaccination mandate while the students sued the school. That led to the students requesting emergency relief from the U.S. Supreme Court. This track became the first test of the COVID-19 vaccine requirements to reach the Supreme Court. Justice Amy Coney Barrett handles the region. However, she has rejected the students' request and will not pass it along to the full court. I want to mention here that there is a similar case going through the courts in Louisiana, that the Attorney General of Louisiana is suing one of the universities, the state universities, saying that their vaccine mandate is illegal. So this may not be the end of this, but this is certainly the wrong decision.
It is the wrong
decision.
Very wrong. Absolutely.
I certainly don't think it's the end of it. We're going to see a lot as these mandates start coming more and more. We're going to see a lot of, you know, the courts tied up with this. And one of the things that we have to remember why, you know, it's people like to say who are pro this vaccine, they'll say, well, you get vaccines for everything else. Why are you, you know, so hesitant about this? Well,
most of them don't kill as many people as this one has killed.
Right.
Well, this one is it's in the experimental stage. It has not been tested. You who have been vaccinated, you are the test pool. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going to wait a while to see what the results are.
I like Mary's story about the two rats talking about, well, I'm waiting until the people experiment's over.
Right,
well,
exactly.
Moderna and Pfizer destroyed their clinical trial results. There is a push to get this FDA approved by September, and I hope they don't do it. But
it would be very
Moderna
proper.
And Pfizer both destroyed their clinical trial results on purpose.
There was the top virologist with Johns Hopkins Hospital was on the Glenn Beck show this morning, and he explained why the vaccines have worked for the other things, but they don't work for this virus. And it all has to do with these other ones can be hosted in animals also.
Right, this cannot be.
This cannot be. Okay. And he goes into a lengthy explanation of a lot of things about why this is not a vaccine to help you. It's a vaccine to hurt you.
Well, we also have the, with the vice president, he's retired from Pfizer.
Right.
Who has come out against it. And if you were to go in a normal platform and search for him, of course, you're going to find hundreds of articles who fact check, false him, they discredit him. But this man was there developing, you know, with the Pfizer company, and now he comes out and it's in Britain, and he's very, very adamant to not get this. But one of the things I was saying about the college students is that there is some evidence, and we don't know, there's not been time to know, that it can cause infertility.
Yes.
Right.
Are you going to take that risk as a college student that you may never have a family? And that's what they are saying to you.
Yep.
You cannot have your education. You may be risking your future.
I'd get an education in the College of Hard Knocks. They could keep their education.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not only that, as some of these doctors mentioned this morning, there were papers written years ago, like in 2010, about these coronaviruses and the manipulation of them and what you could expect with the heart problems that it causes and some of the other issues. And those things are what we're seeing now.
Yep.
And, you know, a lot of people like to put their faith in these Hollywood celebrities.
Oh, gosh.
Well, recently, Eric Clapton came out that he got vaccinated, and he lost the use of his hands. He couldn't play his guitar, and his life's been a living hell. Well, ironically, Melissa, you mentioned to me that somebody locally here in New Bern has stated they have experienced the same symptoms and the same thing.
Well, when you shared that story, it was just, I had just read 2 days before her story on Facebook. It was like reading, just change the name. They were identical. He talked about the reflexes to hot and cold, that his body can't take the temperature change. She has the same thing, the numbness and the nerve ending pain, losing the feeling in your fingers, your feet. She actually said, and she's young, I mean, in her 40s, she has young children. She had to get vaccinated because of her job. She's a principal.
Yep.
And so she had to get vaccinated. The irony is she already had COVID. So she had the antibodies, but they still forced her or she would lose her job. She did get the vaccination. The day she got the second dose, she woke up in the emergency room. They took her from the doctor's office from the site where she got the second dose to the ER. She was unconscious. And since then, in her post, she said that her life has been a living hell and that she feels like her friends and family are mourning her, even though she's still here, the life that she used to have. It's very sad.
How much more can we tolerate? Rand Paul, kudos to Rand Paul for coming out and saying, it's time to stand up. They can't arrest all of us.
Mm. Yep, bless him.
Okay?
And he's
right. You have a right to say no. When it comes to the abortion issue, you can say, my body, my choice, and that's okay.
Right.
But when it comes...
Or listen to the experts. But you get to choose the experts. I mean, we have how many doctors came out? They stood on the steps of Congress to tell us how dangerous this is. But we can't listen to them.
Not only that, you have videos, news conferences, where the people that were promoting it and some of them got the shot collapsed right on the stage in the middle of the news conference.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's what happened to her.
I'd like to address Mary's particular point, but let me say this historically speaking, that now more than ever is the most opportune time for the state government, with the powers that have been given to them by the United States Constitution, to rise up against the federal government.
Absolutely.
Ronald Reagan said it the best, as the power of government expands, so do the sovereign rights of the people contract.
Yes.
Okay. Now more than ever, the Constitution gives the power and the rights to the people. Thomas Jefferson once said, The Constitution puts chains upon tyrannists and abuses of power. The answer is employ the Constitution to what Mary was saying. Use the Constitution for what it's designed to do, to prevent these abuses of power by the federal government and the despotism.
Right, and the other thing, a lot of people were claiming to be Christians. Your Creator did not create you with a spirit of fear.
Right.
Fear comes from the devil. That's where that fear is coming from. And you've got to ask yourself, why are they pushing it so hard? They've never done this before for anything, for things that were more deadly than this virus has been, caused many more deaths than this virus caused. Mm-hmm. They haven't put in a fraction of the effort that they're putting into trying to get you to take this vaccine. So you got to ask yourself, where's that coming from?
Right.
Violation of First and Fifth
Pete's
Amendment.
Pete's point about the sovereignty of states, I've gotten to where I cringe when somebody that should know better calls our nation a democracy.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We are a republic, and that needs to be, people need to digest that and understand it.
Okay, well, we have to take another quick break and hear from our sponsors. We'll come back and wrap this show up. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, folks, if you haven't been listening, I hope you are now, because we're going to wrap this thing up here in just a minute. Melissa, real quick.
I just want to make sure that you guys are aware that Craven County Schools have mandated that children and staff in the under eighth grade will have to wear masks.
Against all the people that have signed petitions, made phone calls.
And the science.
Against their own survey. They took a survey. And the parents did not want this, the staff did not want this, and they totally disregarded it and voted that they will be masked. So speaking of standing up and when are we going to fight, the next school board meeting, public school board meeting, is August 19th.
August 19th, folks. If you live in Craven County and your kids are affected by this, you need to be seen and heard at the Craven County School Board meeting on August the 19th.
Because it will spread to businesses, it will spread to everywhere you go. We have to start standing up.
Right. People,
right.
Look, they're trying to see how much they can get away with,
exactly.
How far they can push, how gullible people are, how much you will accept.
Dig in your heels and practice saying
okay.
No.
Things were kind of loosening up, but all of a sudden they're tightening up again.
Yes.
We've been down this road before, folks. Matter of fact, there was a slogan that came out after it said, never again.
You're right.
Never again. What happened to that, folks? Are you going to sit here and let this happen again? How far are you going to let them control you and take control of your life? They're getting ready to take control of your finances, your bank. Look, they can't spend the trillions of dollars that they're spending and this country survive. Our economy can't take it.
Yeah, and our two wonderful senators voted in favor of it.
Rick, as you went back to that never again thing, there's also a move on in certain school districts to have the children that are vaccinated to have a badge.
Right.
Sort of like the Star of David.
Yes.
They are separating kids in school by these are bad kids because they haven't had the shot and they're dangerous from the ones that have had the shot.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we need to wrap up. Once again, third Tuesday of this month. What's the date, Hal? Do you remember, Rainer? Anyway, the third Tuesday of this month, as Rainer looks that up for
17th.
The 17th. We'll have our public meeting, free, open to the public, downtown New Bern Stanley Hall Ballroom. It's a wonderful venue. We usually have well-attended meetings. This one is going to be, our panel is going to be doing a mock-up radio show. We'll actually record it. If you're in the audience and you want to participate, we'll make accommodations for that to the best of our abilities, as long as we can control control the crowd, yeah, and people aren't too long-winded because we are limited on time. But we hope you'll come and meet all of the members of the panel here for CCTA Wake Up Call. And also we hope to get some of our sponsors there so you can meet them if they're available. And folks, we don't know who might show up as a special guest. So we know Doug Gould is going to be there reporting on the Mike Lindell cybersecurity symposium that he's attended, and there'll be a lot more information there. So please come on out and visit us on the 17th at Stanley Hall Ballroom, downtown New Bern. And that's all we have for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. Look forward to spending time with you again next week.